97.3 if you are just tuning in with Ugo Dre. Good morning, Ugo.
Hi, Bukola. Good morning. Good morning, Lagos. How was your weekend?
It was fine, thank you.
How did you cope with the rains?
I don't know. In fact, the rain is vexing nowadays. It doesn't want to stop. It's supposed to be rounding off, right?
Yeah. In fact, by now, you don't expect that. You expect rain to just fall sparingly.
And this is the time is now gearing to go.
Telling you, like, this weekend was just crazy.
It was crazy, yeah.
Saturday and Sunday, all rain. And I went to Ekpe this weekend, and it wasn't funny at all. Like, I kept going on and on and on. It was a lot of traffic.
Raining,
it was so uncomfortable. Right? So, I'm hoping that this week is going to be a better week, though.
It has to. Looks like the sun has come out today. I hope it's not temporary anyway.
Yeah, I haven't checked weather forecast yet, but I'm hoping that's going to be a good week. All right, Lagos, how are you guys doing? Welcome to Business Half Hour. Like we always say on this show, we bring to you special people, entrepreneurs, young entrepreneurs who are doing something remarkable in this city of Lagos, in fact, Nigeria. They come to share their experiences, their success stories, failures, and a lot of these guys are basically just starting out. So it's always important to catch them young, catch them at the stage of their career, of their hustle, so that at least we can share, you know, in their success stories. You never know, maybe we've probably had one Bill Gates here or one Dangote here 10 or 15 years from now. And
they
today,
farms when they make it,
yes, I know. Farms, and I'm like, hey guys, look, I mean, like, I knew you way back. Oh, come on, like, you just can't abandon me right now. So, I know we had a lot of guests on this show. If you've missed past episodes, you can always go to Nairametrics website, nairametrics.com/podcast, and then you can see some of the past episodes, and then you can listen to some of the very, very incredible people that we've brought on this show. So, Bukola, today we've got a special guest. It's always nice to have a lady on the show.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. So before we start, we'd like to have you introduce yourself to Lagos.
Good morning, Lagos. My name is Biremi Zakariyao. I'm the founder of LSF PR, which is one of the fastest growing PR agencies in Nigeria. Our core focus is corporate communications and consumer brands. The company started in 2012. And I'm also the founder of the Lux Digest, which is a Pan-African luxury content platform. We essentially create premium and luxury content across the continent for Africans and the rest of the world.
Interesting. I mean, like, I was reading your CV and I'm like, you have all this already. Like, I was sort of like, in just under how many years you've had all this loaded already on your CV?
Well,
it's good stuff.
She's restless.
I started quite early. Okay. Yes, I started at 23. Yes, I started my business at 23.
So that's when you started entrepreneurship, man?
Yes.
Wow. And how long have you been on this?
LSFPR is 6 in December, and the Lux Digest is 2 in April.
Okay.
So, while going through your resume, I saw that you had a stint in some law firms, very notable law firms,
yes,
and all. So, why that switch to just entrepreneurship right away? Because it appears you're like, I'm not even doing a 9-to-5. I'm just going to go into entrepreneurship.
Okay, you studied law?
Yes, I studied law. So, I moved back to Nigeria in 2011, October. It was too late to join NYSE. It was also too late to join law school. So, I interned. I decided to get a legal internship first.
Mm-hmm.
I interned the first law firm down the road. I interned there and, you know, I just wanted something more challenging because I was an intern, I was mostly in the library doing research and I just wanted more. So I moved to another law firm a month after that, Udo Odoma and Bello Osage. And that's literally the first job I've ever had.
Mm.
The first proper job, because it was very intense. I was an intern, but I was worked like an actual associate. And, you know, they exposed me to so much. I would be in meetings for mergers and acquisitions.
Mm.
I would go to board meetings. I'll go to SEC, NAFDAC, everything, land registries, stamp duties. So it was great for sort of understanding the business environment.
Okay.
And it was great for giving me that opportunity to understand that I didn't want to be a lawyer. So it gave me that clarity. So it's the best work experience I've ever had, in the sense that it built me, but it also gave me that clarity I needed. So, but I still wanted to go ahead to join law school because there's no point having a law degree and then not qualifying as a barrister. So I still went ahead and did that. But as soon as I was done with the internship, I already knew that, okay, you have 18 months of law school to figure out what you really want to do. So within that 18 months, I decided to start my company on the side. And then I was only working with fashion brands, which was my comfort zone then. Mm-hmm. And then as soon as I was done with law school, I just realized, well, this is your life now. You either have to scale or you're going to have to go get a job. So I sort of just went at it fearlessly. And we're here.
So how's that experience been so far?
Well, it's very challenging. Entrepreneurship is very challenging, despite the fact that it may look glamorous. You know, the operational just daily operations
of challenges.
Exactly. HR, you know,
electricity, hiring people,
generator not coming on Monday morning, you know.
So it's, a lot of people don't realize what they enjoy having a 9-to-5 job, but you just come to work, I expect everything to just be working.
Yeah, it's like, so much consistency.
You're just working and there's light and there's everything. But you forget that there's somebody behind who's actually doing all the work. Who's like thinking every morning, like, God, is there going to be light in this office? Is there going to be
diesel
and all? Am I going to get customers?
Changed. Oh, my God.
All right, so let's delve a bit into your business now. So you do PR, basically.
Yes.
Probably not allowed to mention some of the names of your clients here, but I saw some impressive list you have here on your list of clientele.
Thank you.
So PR, like, for a young person, why PR?
I think growing up, I'd always loved media. So I loved advertising. I was one of those people that would watch a music video or see an advert and just say, why didn't they do this instead? You know, you could have told this story better. Hmm. I wasn't quite sure it would be PR. And also I was best law student in college. So I could have actually done media from the beginning. But because I was best law student in college and then just having a Nigerian dad, I just felt like, you know what, this is the best thing to do. You know, you have a certificate that says best law student, just go ahead and do law. So I did always like media per se. I wasn't 100% sure what it would be. So the first thing I did attempt to try was PR. And I love the art of storytelling and strategy and developing strategy. Even with law, it's a lot of strategy in terms of how you're dealing with things.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So I guess having that background and sort of just going into it and seeing what it would be like, and because I was passionate about it as well, so it didn't feel like work. It still doesn't feel like work. I think it's the operational things that actually weigh you down. So I've just grown, you know, doing courses and sort of doing different things just to ensure that I'm consistently growing and my team is consistently growing. So it's the first thing I attempted and it just worked.
And it stuck, is that?
Yes.
So when people hear PR, like, what to you, what do you think PR means? I mean, because for a lot of guys out there, PR basically is trying to spin one thing or the other, or trying to help companies manage their image and all. So for you, as a budding entrepreneur, how would you define PR to your clients?
I would just make it really simple. I think with PR is not spin, you know. It's two-way communication. So if you see advertising, for example, you see an ad, you can't talk to it.
Mm-hmm.
You, with marketing, comes with demand, what consumers are demanding, then the organizational company puts something together to market and manipulate that consumer. But with PR provides a two-way conversation. So I'm talking to you, you're talking to me. So how do you communicate with all your stakeholders? So you have Classic FM, for example. Your stakeholders are your listeners. Your stakeholders are some of your regulators, the government.
Mm-hmm.
How do you have one message that you're communicating to all these people and they can communicate back to you? So it's with PR, it's a two-way conversation of speaking with people and storytelling and sometimes managing reputation.
Exactly. And that's where some people think it's a lot of spin. So for a lot of small businesses out there, especially the ones that are growing
quickly or fast. PR can be a problem for them sometimes, and the reason some people would say is because they don't take it seriously from the outset. So you know, when you're starting a business, it's just about making money, marketing and stuff like that. Nobody's really thinking about the reputation of the company or the kind of message or the communication the company is trying to push. So how do you relate with smaller companies that are trying to, you know, that are doing great things, that, you know, probably earning a lot of money currently but don't really care about PR? I mean, is it something that they should be worried about, or is it something that they probably need to get, do you need to get to a certain level or stage of your business before PR starts to get important, or do you just start from the outset?
There are two things. Sometimes with small businesses, you start and you sort of can't afford the basics, PR, accounting, and all of that. So you do basic things yourself. But as you go, obviously, you want to start to position your business as and see it as a brand, you know, because if you do want to build something sustainable, you do have to start positioning. Two key things. Now, the world is, with technology and social media, it has made things a little bit much more easier. So if you're a small business, you don't necessarily have to hire an agency. Mm-hmm. You know, there are certain things that you can do yourself. You can sort of design your brand story and communicate with your consumers that way. So for example, if you're communicating with millennials, you know, the way it's mostly, you know, the way you position yourself online, your aesthetic, are you communicating with your consumers that way? But definitely it is something to consider. But I would say with small businesses who don't have the funding tool, it's actually okay to think about internally and say, this is our brand message and this is what we would like to communicate. And what we're communicating, we would like people to also perceive us the way we would like, the way we're communicating with them. So I think that's one of the key things that businesses should always consider, especially if you can't afford an agency or afford to get someone internally. But if you can, it's always something that you do want to start putting in place and positioning your business as a business that is viable. Sometimes with some businesses, you're trying to attract more investment.
Yeah.
You're trying to attract, you know, you're trying to go international. So if you're not actually positioning your business that way, sometimes you'll go to an investor and they'll be like, well, what have you done? They search your name in Google and they can't find you, and that can be problematic sometimes. Mm. So I think businesses do need to understand where they stand and what they need from the beginning.
All right, cool. We'll probably go on break pretty soon, but before we go, let me just ask you this question quickly. For we've seen a lot of companies with image problems over the last, you know, few months. I wouldn't want to mention names, either with the regulators or either with, you know, maybe their kind of products, or with customers or consumers. You know, some are probably looking for cheaper prices, some are saying, look, service is poor. Like, how do you think a lot of businesses should, you know, relate PR to the larger image or perception of their business?
Well, the thing is, there are different facets of PR. You know, it's not just that brand positioning, brand image. Sometimes it could be crisis. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it could be, sometimes people have an issue that shouldn't turn into a crisis.
Exactly.
But how you manage it.
Yes, but they don't manage it. So it blows up into this big thing. Mm-hmm. And I think sort of just being really proactive, even with crisis, you're supposed to have some sort of manual that's helping you control it. So that's helping you control everything you're doing within an organization. If there's a fire, it shouldn't be an immediate response of oh my God, what should we do? What should we do? You should already have, you know, a spokesperson. Exactly. Mm-hmm. You should already know what you're supposed to say if there's a fire. I think with certain businesses, so for example, if it's a plane, God forbid, you know, what's the worst that can happen? There can be a plane crash, a passenger in the plane can, you know, can die or can fall sick or can, you know, as soon as you land, those things are going to be serious issues. But the way you handle it sometimes
really matters.
Would determine how the outcome of the entire situation.
And it's incredible how these things, when it blows over, how it can really impact on the value of companies. Like,
yes,
even if your company is listed or the company is not, I mean, it can really, really damage reputation of a company. All right, Lagos, we're going to go on a short break. And if you're just tuning in, we've been speaking to Bidemi Zakariao. She is, you kind of remind me of, did anyone ever tell you that you remind them of Olivia Pope? Like,
just not the president's part.
Yeah, of course not that one. Yeah, but I think you kind of have that.
We'll take a break and we'll be right back. This way. All right, urging you on this Monday morning, shake off the Monday blues. Keep on moving, don't you stop. And we have a guest in the studio, is Business Half Hour with Ugodre.
Yeah, Lagos. So we have Bidemi Zakaria. She's the founder of LSF, a PR company. My God, young founder. She's speaking so smartly. So Bidemi, we're going to talk a little bit more about your business now. We've talked about PR and all and given us very good insight. Remember I said you sound like Olivia Pope, except... Let's just move that president side. I mean, like, very brilliant, intelligent, Olivia Pope. She had a law background as well. She's a lawyer as well. And she kind of just fixes people. Mm. So, when you started your business, did you have to raise capital, or did you just start out of your bedroom, or like, how did it all start? Because you didn't, it's not like you walked and saved some money. So how did you start? Did you have any
angel investors?
I started with no capital whatsoever.
Zero capital.
Yes, zero. No funding, no support, nothing. So I remember it was something I wanted to do. And because I just moved, my family live in England. Mm-hmm. And I was here for secondary school. But you know, when you're here for secondary school, you don't really know anything. Mm-hmm. So moving back, I currently still live with my friend's family. And... So my first client, I would call.
So your immediate family wasn't here. So you were didn't have that family support that we all thrive on in Nigeria. Yeah,
exactly.
Wow.
So I would go on Bella Niger.
Okay.
So Bella Niger have this thing when they put lookbooks for fashion designers, mm-hmm. they put the credits. So they put a contact number and email address and whatever. And I kid you not, I think I called like 100 people.
Wow.
From the credits. So I would just go on their website every day, calling. And then I had one lucky person. Just one. I was just lucky with this person. She picked up and she was like, you know what? I'm doing something this weekend. You can come and style the shoot. Mm. I was like, okay, so I took all my shoes, went to the shoots, didn't really do any styling, just, you know. And then I was like, oh, you know what? I can actually do your PR as well. And she said, really? Okay, no problem. Send me a proposal. So I sent her, by the way, I didn't know what I was doing. No PR experience. Mm. Straight in law, I'm still at law school. So I'm there like Googling all the PR agencies in the world. And I find like this key one, Oglivi. It's the first PR company I ever found online. And I saw this PR agency. They had like so many like different brands they worked with. They had like subsections on their website, government, this, lobbying, blah, blah, blah. I was like, oh my God, I want to be this company. Oh my God, how do I get to be this company? So I'm looking for like smaller agencies, fashion agencies that do PR for like Chanel. I'm like, you know what? I can actually do this in Nigeria. So I'm there copying and pasting from Google, like piecing things together. And I sent her a proposal.
Thank God for
Google.
She's
like, you know what? Okay, no problem. So now to execute all the things I said I would do. So obviously with online, it was easier for me to sort of get email addresses from all their platforms. I sent it to all those platforms. It was there. But to get something in a newspaper was hell. So all newspapers have a contact number at the bottom, either at the front or at the back.
Yeah.
Sometimes journalists have their contact numbers inside. So I'm there like calling all newspapers. Sometimes I'll get through to the editor.
What are you calling them for?
Because I needed a feature for my client. So I'll call the editor. I'll call just random numbers. And there was this lady, Nike Shotade, I can never forget. So she picked up Guardian newspaper and she said, okay, no problem. Just send me what you need to send. My email address is this. So I'm there like, okay, no problem. So I send it to her. Next week it's out, full page.
Oh.
And by the way, I didn't even know the impact. I didn't know how serious a full page was. So I was just like, yeah, you know, so I'm sending my client a report. I'm like, yeah, this. And she's like, full page in Guardian. I'm like,
okay.
Yeah, she was like, nobody has ever done this. You know, I've had publicists in the past. I've used PR agencies, but I've never gotten a full page. So I'm there like...
That was a serious aha moment for you.
So I'm like, okay, then, you know, no problem. Now, that went really well. And she referred me to my next 5 clients.
Wow.
Yes. So it was my business in the first 2 years was very much a referral system type of thing. I didn't need to go look for any client. It was different clients sort of. So she referred me to Gray referred me to White Space referred me.
And it just kept going on.
And it just kept on going. So it was then a fashion PR business.
Okay.
And then our key client then was Grey Velvet. Grey Velvet was based in Ikeja City Mall, and we saw they had just opened, you know, their reputation wasn't that high then. It was like the biggest retail store in Nigeria, but no one was really trying to go out to Ikeja. So I had to sort of build that brand from scratch. And that was so amazing because all the brands I had been working with already existed.
And before this, you didn't have any experience like that. So you really learned on the job.
Yes. So with Grey Velvet, it sort of became this big thing. Mm. And then people would refer to me as that girl that does PR for Grey Velvet. Mm. So I was sort of growing a little reputation as that girl that does PR for Grey Velvet. And then by the time I was done with law school, that was then still Grey Velvet, our clients, but they referred us to Diesel, which was the first Diesel in West Africa, the first Diesel store in West Africa. And it just grew from there. And I remember my first major client in, because remember that first website I said, that first PR website. So it was then my dream to sort of be like this big agency that does PR for like fashion, governments, this and that. So I really wanted to go into the consumer space. So in 2014, we had this art exhibition for a client and we got a champagne sponsor. Now with this champagne brand, it was a brand I loved in England. So I just felt like, you know, they could improve on some of their local strategy in Nigeria. So I went to meet them and they were like, well, you know what? We have in-house PR, but we'll give you a chance to speak. So I went in there just for this one brand and I'm talking. And the head of marketing there says, well, we have 12 brands under us. Bring a proposal for 12 brands.
Ooh.
So I'm there like, oh my God, no, I only came for one brand. I didn't come for 12 brands. I just came for one brand.
It really
exactly.
You're getting overwhelmed.
2 weeks, 32-page proposal after, they gave us two brands to start with.
Interesting.
And that was our sort of like first time working with consumer brands. And then it just blew up. So now we handle all their.
So you're saying we, like, you got, no, you have employees now and all that?
It was me. Okay. Now it's we. So
how many staff do you have?
So we are 7.
Wow.
Full time.
Do you have an office?
Yes. Mm-hmm. We're in our second office now.
Okay. Oh my God, expanding.
And yeah, so we now handle their full portfolio, but now we're now into like major consumer brands.
Yeah, like I said, I saw your list and I was like, wow, you manage all these people.
So that's the story. That's pretty much how it happened. Obviously.
So basically you bootstrapped this. So your clients basically funded your business. It wasn't like you had to get any, but have you gotten any injection of capital since then? You've just been on your own.
Yes. It's.
Do you have partners or?
No. The business has been, I own 99% shares.
I
need a friend to help me sign my 1%.
Okay. So 1% somebody else.
But the thing is also, it's sort of like looking at it and saying, I want to build something that is sustainable. So in the beginning with all the money, I didn't have a car. Obviously, I live with my friend's family here. So in the beginning, it was all about, okay, the first thing I needed to be mobile. So all the money I was saving went into a car. Second thing, I needed an office that people could come to.
Yeah.
So I got that office. And then
Where's your office?
So our office is in Lekki Phase 1. Okay. Our first office was just like 13 square meters, tables for 3 people, but at some point we needed a bigger space. So we were expanding as we were growing, not, you know, and obviously
you took it one step at a time.
Yes. It was very important to do that. Even till now, it's still important that the business is able to sustain itself and we don't need any sort of cash injection at all. And so LSF was my first investor in the other business, the Lux Digest. Yes.
So now you have two businesses. Yes. I kind of feel like I'm going to have you on this show again. So we can talk about.
So what's Lux Digest about?
How you're managing two businesses at the same time.
So the Lux Digest is a Pan-African. So now that I have to explain it, it was an opportunity from LSF.
It was an offshoot.
So because we also represent some luxury brands.
Okay.
So 2 or 3.
So Lux is. Luxury, Lux.
Yes,
okay.
The Lux Digest. So 2 years ago, 2 or 3 years ago, one of the luxury brands that we represent had their global brand ambassador in Nigeria. And there was nowhere we could place the content online. Mm. So because the brand is so luxurious, I mean, this is a brand you compare to Hermes, Chanel and all those sorts of brands. I just said to myself, oh my God, this is a problem my client has. This is a problem that another PR agency's client has. This is a problem that the private banks have. It's a problem that anybody in the luxury space has. And sort of looking across the entire continent, there was really nothing like that. So in South Africa, they have like luxury fashion, luxury lifestyle, but nobody is giving you a holistic architecture, real estate, food and all of that, travel at the same time. So I just thought, well, this is a great opportunity for me to start this. So obviously I dragged my feet for a bit, for about a year and a half, and then finally just said, you know what, let me just do it. And it's been up and running for a year and a half now. And
so what areas do you cover?
So we cover there are 13 categories: architecture, real estate, fine dining, travel, business, lifestyle, jewelry, art.
You're actually going to name all of them.
Yes, so it's like a
very technology. Impressive though, like you running like two serious businesses. I mean, like very, very impressed. Unfortunately, time's not gonna.
But Kate is asking. I guess she just wants to, you know, borrow some. There's a listener. She says, "Good morning. I want to go into baby wears. How do I go about it from home? Because I have no shop." Yeah. So, what would your advice be?
So baby wears. The world is so digital right now. I think the best thing is to definitely, if you want to start from home, to use a website. So use a website to build your business.
Or even social media page.
Exactly. Like Instagram. Use a website, create a website, and then use your house as the warehouse for all that stock. Use a delivery service. There are third-party delivery services. And use social media to promote your business. And with social media, the good thing is that you can target. It allows you to target from age demographic to the sort of people you're trying to reach. And once you do that as well, also using social media, creating the right sort of content that is targeted at that demographic, mothers, fathers, parents in general, people who are expecting, people who are recently getting married, and sort of target those sort of people. I definitely think that's a business that...
Kate, we would have paid for this if you had gone to Lekki, so this is free of charge, right on Classic FM 97.3. All right,
Lagos,
so
that's our show for the week. We've been speaking to Bidemi Zakariao. She's the founder, CEO of LSF PR and Lux Digest. I'm pretty sure I'm going to have you back on this show because I think you've got loads and loads and loads to share.
No,
you got to wake up this time. Wake you up very early. All right. So how do people get in touch with you if they want to? I mean, like, and then give us a parting shot. We should end the show with a parting shot. Like, is there a slogan that guides you every morning or every day or whenever? Like, just share. But let your listeners know how they can.
What's that mantra you have that keeps you going?
I think the key thing that's, you know, within the last few months, obviously with technology and social media, everybody gets exhausted. Everybody is looking at what every other person is doing. I feel very strongly that it's important to always understand your own grace as an individual. Mm-hmm. If you do that, regardless of what anybody is doing, what job anybody has, because you understand your own self, you never lose focus. You can never lose focus because you always know what your journey is supposed to be, and it's easier for you to sort of work and focus on that, so instead of sort of looking at what other people are doing. So understanding your own grace.
Oh, I like
so
that.
So important.
Oh. I like that.
And
I know you like it, Luca.
To find me, so the Lux Digest is at the Lux Digest. LSFPR is at LSFPR everywhere. Facebook, it's all consistent. Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, LSFPR. Same with the Lux Digest. Me, myself, Bidemi Zakariao everywhere.
All right, Lagos, Nicola, that's our show for this week. And of course, remember, if you missed the show, check us out tomorrow at nirametrics.com/podcast. There'll be a podcast edition of the show for you to listen to.
So understand your own grace. Don't compare yourself with anybody. Take it one step at a time at your own pace.
You had that crammed already, my God.
Thank you.